Jeff, thank you so much for taking some time here. We met when you were in the middle of getting your theological studies degree, your master's at Boston College. We were at a lay Catholic context gathering to imagine what it means to be practitioners of nonviolence and followers of Jesus in this time. And we both had a shared experience in El Salvador that deeply shaped us when we were young. You doing more theological work, me just living amongst the farmers in Chalatenango. You're just finished your studies as a family medicine doctor. You're researching kind of as a public health fellow, social determinants of health. But you also have a love for economics. And as I was telling you about the work we're doing with Catholic social teaching and investing and helping Catholic asset stewards appreciate more their reliance on their conscience as part of what it means to be bolder in embodying their faith through their asset stewardship. It occurred to me that John Sobrino and Ignacio Yacuría, two Jesuits that were amongst the martyrs at the UCA, have a theology that talks about reality in a certain way and combines it with compassion and Jesus. Give us a little bit of sense of that theology and the lineage it comes from.
Sure. So, from what I recall from kind of studying this theology some years back, there's a philosophical tradition that both Sobrino and Yacuría are part of that is kind of looking philosophically at what is real and how does reality function. But they really appropriate it in a moral way. And to me, the punchline of the theology was to say that there's something in the structure of reality itself that makes moral demands on us, particularly the demand of compassion. And they say that one of the primary dictates of liberation theology is to be honest with reality. And for them, what that meant was to face suffering, face hardships, face crucifixion in its many forms in the world, and respond with compassion. And I guess the analog to that is if you are facing the world without compassion, without that spirit, you're in some ways denying what's real. And so I think that that merging of seeing properly, implying a need to act, is so important. And it gives us confidence to kind of, as actors, to say, we're not going to agree with distortions of reality, and we're not going to be able to be on the sidelines. Because if we're being honest with what's happening and we're seeing clearly, we have to act to be honest with that reality.
So helpful. Give us just a little bit of the context with which this emerged in El Salvador in the 70s and 80s, and any parallels you think with our time today.
Yeah, so my understanding is that the people at the UCA, Sobrino Yacuría, they were experiencing a country in a lot of turmoil, a lot of repression. In the 70s, there were some nonviolent movements, labor movements that often aren't remembered, but there was a really strong effort to nonviolently confront the repressive forces happening, landowners against workers and different issues like that. And then an armed struggle developed as people were being kind of, massacred. They took up arms and were resisting that. And so in the 70s, trying to kind of be a presence and name the realities that were happening and not allowing the official description of what was happening to stand when it was so clearly distortion. And then in the 80s, when the actual civil war broke out officially, until 89, when they were when Acre was martyred, along with other Jesuits, really trying to be a voice of naming reality and resisting it. And in that setting, naming reality as it was a threat to the powers that be, and did create a certain level of understanding, sympathy, and solidarity internationally just to name reality as it was. But that they kind of live that philosophy that they taught. And I think today it's a very similar situation. I think in all of our different fields, for me, it's kind of seeing how healthcare is impacting people and the lack of healthcare and the social determinants of health, the way that economics acts in a certain way. These are fields that very easily can distort. They can use terms that minimize the humanity of people. They can defend themselves and their own kind of assumptions in ways that totally treat people as not people. And I think that the task of people in economics and medicine, whatever field, is to speak truth to that reality, to be honest with it, even when it indicts us, even when it says the traditions we've been a part of have perpetuated those problems. Because if we are able to name reality, we'll be on, we'll be part of that healing process, and moving toward that kind of transformation that's needed. So I think that that's kind of how I would think of their message today.
That's super helpful, Jeff. One more question for you around some of the Gandhian practice of nonviolence. You were just describing a particular term. Could you unpack that for us?
Yeah. So again, not something that I'm an expert in, but something that really during my theology studies kind of attracted me was looking at some of this liberation theology principles alongside some of Gandhi's philosophy of nonviolence. And something that I always found compelling is that oftentimes in the popular idea, we think of nonviolence as not violence, as the absence of something. And really Gandhi was saying, no, nonviolence is the presence of something very powerful. And the term that he often used was satyagraha. And that is often translated as soul force. But in doing some reading, I saw that it's a compound word that really satya means kind of what is or what exists from my understanding. And then agraha refers to obstinance or stubbornness. And so it's interesting that what he sees as the core of nonviolent action is being stubborn about what's real. And I think that that's so true in institutions, particularly among groups that are oppressed institutions, who are told that their suffering is not real, who are told that their exclusion is not real, to just stand there and speak truth and be stubborn about that and not let people distort that or tell you that you're wrong. Just being stubborn about what's real is deeply transformative. And that colors to me that whole strand of liberation theology and Catholic social teaching that talks about being honest with reality.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And I think this means so much coming from you. I know you've been on the front lines organizing alongside day laborers, migrant workers here in this country in Philadelphia for the past few years. As you, you know, think of the many women religious and men religious and other faithful Catholics that you worked alongside in those contexts and others, just any words of words for them, especially those who hold the purse strings on the assets of these religious orders that are trying to embody their faith more boldly with their financial and economic and investment decisions.
I'll just say I'm so heartened to see like a lot of the work that's been done by particularly women religious for forever, you know, taking this kind of stronger structural emphasis. I know this work isn't new, but it seems to be blossoming in a new way. And I think it's in the same way that that work, the grassroots community organizing work that I've seen and that supported some of the organizing I was involved with in Philly, to see that same witness being brought to kind of these structural conversations of where capital is invested and what kind of new economy we want. I mean, it's really inspiring. And I think of no greater group to kind of take that mantle and spread it to others. So I'm really excited to see it.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Felipe.